and share a little bit of our heart. This thing has been growing on me, and I know it's only two verses, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot in there, Brother Mike, but the more I have just kind of latched hold of this, seem like it's grown in our heart. And so thank you for letting us share it this morning, and I trust you'll listen attentively tonight. Amen. Whatever capacity you have to hear the Word of God, you exercise that tonight, and let's see what God will let us do. Let's stand together. Mark chapter 4, verse 33 and 34. The Bible said, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them. And here's the phrase we settled in upon this morning, as they were able to hear it. Amen. We'll be dealing primarily with verse 34 tonight. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, Heavenly Father. Again tonight, in that name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Lord, our God, our dearest friend. Lord, we pray in His name tonight that You'd hear our prayer. Lord, that prayer and that desire that we have for our God to pass by our way in the, Lord, the preaching of the Word of God and making truth burn in our bones. I pray tonight, Lord, that there'd be a spirit, Lord, of reception of truth tonight. Lord, even as we preach about how we receive truth, may we receive that truth. Lord, I ask you this evening, may our lives and, Lord, our spiritual well-being, Lord, be blessed and benefited tonight as a result of the truths that will be laid forth and, Lord, preached on and delivered to hearts and lives tonight. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight, Lord, that is lost and undone, and they're of that natural man that receiveth not the things of God. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would deal with them according to their need tonight. Lord, be it that they be in this service, in this sanctuary, or listening by the radio, or, Lord, watching by way of the live stream tonight, or even in days to come. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to their heart and, Lord, do for them in salvation what only Jesus can do. And then, Lord, for the rest of us that are saved, take us beyond ourselves and what we're capable of. And, Lord, may thy will be done in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have been studying the four parables that have been given in Mark chapter number 4. And I'm aware that as long as we've been in Mark chapter number 4, just if all you do is come here on Sunday mornings and listen to us preach, your Bible probably falls open to Mark chapter 4. We've been in it so long trying to expound these four parables that Mark records for us. Now we have ended those four parables, preaching the four that are recorded, and Mark just simply says, I want you to know, these are not the only four parables that he gave. There were many such parables that Jesus spake. And in matter of the parables, Mark emphasizes the fact that these are more than just earthly similitudes and statements and sayings, that literally when the Lord is talking about a sower went forth to sow seed, and when he's talking about the mustard seed and these things that he has dealt with in this text, that really what he was preaching was the Word. He was not just giving agricultural studies and liturgies on what it was to farm in that culture and in that generation. Mark said all these many such parables that he was speaking, he was literally preaching the Word of God unto them. We think about the Lord in His earthly life, and we know that He came to die, and we know that He came to be our Savior, and we know that He came as the Lamb of God to take away our sin, and He is going to do that. Amen. Before we get done with our study on the in the Gospel according to Mark, we'll see, amen, the Son of God laid down His life for our sin. But in the time from His baptism to the day that He would lay down His life, Jesus was a preacher. He was a communicator of heavenly truth and of spiritual truth, and he longed to give and impart to men the Word of God. Amen. Not a word, not some word, not, amen, some kind of word, but I love how Mark has this pinned down under inspiration, the Spirit of God. Amen, because it gets real direct and real clear and real plain. Amen, that whenever the Lord was preaching, he was preaching the Word of God. Amen. And I want to say tonight, there's no replacement for that in our, amen, there was no replacement for that in Jesus' day, and there's no replacement for that in our day and in our hour, and the importance and the significance of our spiritual life to the Word of God being declared to you and I is absolutely vital to our spiritual well-being. Amen. Christ didn't just come, my friend, to, amen, communicate a few good ideas. Oh no. Amen. Over and over and over, the crowds would hear him preach and they would, amen, they would walk away saying, this man speaks with authority. He doesn't preach like the scribes had and the Pharisees. He has an authority behind him. He has a zeal and a passion and a fire that seems to leap out of his bosom and burns within us when he opens his mouth. I'm mindful of what Brother Pace preached amen, in the Gospel of John, is the witness and the testimony of the Lord was simply this: that crowd that had been sent to arrest the Lord and bring him back to the Pharisees, amen, when they said, why didn't you bring him? They just simply said, never a man spake as this man spake. And so there is, amen, the Lord in his preaching ministry in the element of communicating truth in his life. Amen. He wasn't just dealing with philosophy. He didn't come to be a counselor. He came to be a preacher of the Word of God. And Mark said, when he'd open his mouth and give these parables, amen, that was the Lord's way of preaching the Word of God. Amen. God, you say, is preaching. Amen. Brother Mike, you may be right. Amen. You laughed at me a little bit ago. You may be right. Amen. You do understand God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. Amen. It is preaching that got the gospel to you. Amen. It's the preaching of the Word of God that, conveyed truth to you. Amen. It was preaching that brought conviction of sin to your heart and your life. Amen. It was preaching that convinced you the Word of God was so. Amen. And that God was to be led true and every man a liar. Amen. It is preaching that, amen, has brought us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he illustrates that in his own life. Amen. As he was a preacher of the Word unto them. Amen. I'm glad tonight about preaching. Amen. If you took out the influence and the effect and the success preaching has had in my life. Amen. I'm talking about Bible preaching now. Amen. I ain't talking about what Osteen does and Myers does. Amen. I ain't talking about having some philosopher give us some kind of lesson of a religious nature, but amen, I'm talking about a real man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, roll his sleeves up, amen, and rear back and give me the Word of God. If you took out all that has done in my life, I would be reduced to little tonight. Amen. Spiritually, not that I am everything ought to be. I'm certainly not everything that I could be. Amen. Tonight, and I'm glad he's still working on me, but amen, I do owe what I am tonight, amen, to the fact that the Word of God has been preached to me. Amen. 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 And so Christ spake the word. Christ spake the word. Amen. He spake the word unto them. Amen. Wouldn't you have liked to hear Christ preach the word? Amen. Wouldn't you like to heard the word tell you about the word? Amen. Wouldn't that have been something to hear, amen, the very lips and the very mouth and the very tongue of God declare what He had already declared? Amen. Oh, what a blessing that should have been counted to be in that day. Amen. And that is what He came to do. Amen. And we read in Mark chapter number 1 that when the Lord came on the scene, that He came preaching. He came preaching. Amen. He followed John the Baptist, who had been sent to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. John the Baptist was a preacher and Jesus was a preacher. Amen. And they were declaring what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Now He's not only speaking the word unto them, He's not only just delivering, amen, and in fact, it's far more than just an oratory on religious matters. Amen, when He spake the word unto them, the phrase that we have been focusing in for our thought or begun this morning is that He expounded, verse 34, He expounded all things to His disciples. He expounded this. This conveys the picture of unloosening a knot. Amen. Of setting free something that has been bound. Amen. I think about this, that by revealing truth by way of the parables, these sayings, these similitudes, these stories that Christ would use of an earthly illustration to communicate a heavenly truth. Amen. This was Christ's way of loosening the knots that had men bound. Amen. And may I say tonight, amen, whatever has you bound spiritually, amen, oh, it'll take the word of truth to unloosen those knots. Amen. Some tonight are bound by fear. Some are bound by sin. Amen. Some are bound by a grudge or a bitterness or a hurt feeling. They are bound spiritually tonight, but amen, Christ is illustrating to you and I, amen, that it is truth and the expounding of truth that, amen, sets you and I free. And so we quoted John 8:32, and you'll find it in 32 and in verse 36. Amen. That Christ made a premium on knowing the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. In other words, there is a liberty, there is spiritual freedom. Amen. You can have the knots that Satan has bound your hands and your heart and your mind and your spiritual life with. Amen. If you will but exercise your capacity for truth. Amen. And know the truth shall make you free. We was leaving service this morning and I'd referenced the fact that Brother Jack, he knows about tying knots and those things that, amen, they teach those Boy Scouts. I never learned all of that. Amen. I can tie a simple knot and I can tie my shoes. That's about it. Amen. I have been having to learn some other things because, amen, some ways we're hunting now, we're using tethers and ropes and pulleys and, amen, crazy stuff that a 43-year-old man ain't got no business doing hanging out of a tree that way. Amen. But nevertheless, I've been trying to learn. And here's what Brother Jack told me coming out this morning. And it stuck in my heart. I've been pondering on it. I thought, I'll give him credit, but I'm going to use that to preach tonight. Amen. He said, preacher, think about a knot this way. He said, a knot really is nothing more than a bite. It is the rope biting upon itself. Is that right? Amen. It is bound down by a bite. Is that not what Satan, our adversary, the great serpent, amen, desires to do in our life? Amen. He desires to latch hold upon us. amen, biting us and binding us, amen, getting us in a knot, amen. I'm telling you, God don't want us living that way. Amen. Christ wants us free. Christ wants us, amen, to be free to worship and free to serve. Amen. Free in spirit and free in mind. Amen. He doesn't want us walking around bound down all the time. Amen. There is freedom in Christ. Amen. And in Christ there is truth that unloosens the knots that have us bound. Amen. And so we're preaching on the thought what it takes to get loose. What it takes to get loose. Now, I didn't make a big deal about this. I probably should have this morning. Amen. But let me say, ultimately, if you're going to get loose from whatever binds you, it's going to take Jesus. Jesus is going to have to do a work in your life. Amen. He's the one doing the expounding. He is the exactor of truth in our life. Amen. Tonight, that knows how to make application. Amen. That has set us free and the ropes can fall off and the chains can, amen, fall off. But it's going to take Christ. Amen. It'd be more than a preacher. It'd be more than a church. Amen. It'd take more than a godly parent in your life. Amen. To bring you into spiritual freedom and liberty. And Christ desires for you to live in. Amen. It is going to take Christ to do that in your life. Amen. In the next chapter, we're going to read about, amen, a man that we know well. We have termed him in our day, how we know him is the maniac of Gadara. That maniac of Gadara, the Bible said they bound him often with fetters and with chains. Amen. They had him bound. They tried to bind him, amen, to keep him from being a nuisance to society. Amen. Can I say that's what society wants to do? Amen. They want to bind everybody down. But, amen, when Christ sailed across the Sea of Galilee and Christ stepped off there into the country of the Gadarenes, said, amen, that man with all that legion of devils in his life, amen, shackles on his hands, said, amen, shackles upon his feet, amen, that he had burst asunder when Christ got done with it. Amen. You know what Christ did? Amen. Christ unloosened the knots that society had him bound to. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me there's freedom in this world. There ain't freedom in the world. Some of y'all think you could be free if you could just get out in the world and do your own thing. That's not freedom. That's called being bound. Somebody preach back to me. Is that right? There ain't freedom out there. All you'll find in the world is fetters and chains. Amen. Ropes to tie you up. And I'm glad I know a man who can unloosen what has you bound. Amen. It takes Jesus to set a man free. Amen. Now, what we're looking at is how Christ, amen, the means that Christ does this is by the Word. Amen. He has not given these men an emotional experience. He is giving them a spiritual, or may we say a scriptural exposition. Amen. Amen. He is giving them truth. If you're going to make it in this life spiritually, you're going to have to build your life upon truth. Amen. Amen. And so we're dealing with what it takes to get loose. What does it take to be unbound? What does it take, amen, to have the knots loosen? What does it take, amen, to have the freedom and the liberty to worship and to serve it, amen, and not be so bound down to, amen, grudges and bitterness, amen, hurt feelings. What does it take not to be bound down to some sin or immorality, amen, or some vice and it's got its grip upon you? Amen. It is going to take the power of Christ as Christ brings truth to our life. Amen. 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 So what it takes to be loose, what it takes to get loose, we said this morning it involves the renewal of discernment. The renewal of discernment, all of this hinges on the phrase that we preached this morning in verse 33, that Christ, He spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Dealing with their capacity for truth, their capacity to hear truth. Amen. He could not give them more than they were able to hear. There was a, in the moment, there was a limitation on their capacity, but He would stretch that capacity by delivering to them what they were able to hear. And if they would respond to what they were able to hear and receive what they were able to hear and adhere to what they were able to hear, He would enlarge their capacity in days to come. And though they could not hear it now, it not mean they would not be able to hear more down the road. And it hinged on them being able to hear the Word of God. Amen. John 16 and verse number 12, Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You're not spiritual enough to handle more truth than that I've given. Amen. You have to do something with what has already been delivered. You've got to embrace what's already been given, or you're not going to get anything else. Right now, you can't handle more than you've been given. But Christ is inferring there will be a day and a time, and He goes on to speak about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Christ is going to die and He's going to ascend and He's going away. But that Spirit of truth is going to lead and guide them into all truth. I'd give you more, Jesus said, but you're not able to bear it. Amen. Oh, the generation that we're in that has lost their capacity for truth. Remember, Jerry was talking before service and he was talking about the condition, and he works in the school system, and Sissy does, and thank God for people that are willing to do that. And you ought to pray for them often. But Brother Jerry was saying, he said, preacher, they have no concept of truth. So I was talking to a girl, I think that's what he said, there's a young girl in the high school that she was saying that she believed in reincarnation, I think is what he said. Amen, that she was going to live her life and then, amen, the day would come, she would die and that she was going to come back as something or someone else down the way. Well, where do you get that from? There's no source that you can go to and derive that, hey man, this is the way that it is. There's no divine, hey man, explanation about that as ever having been true. Hey man, and Brother Jerry said, what is wrong with people in these days? I said, Brother Jerry, it is that they have lost their capacity for truth. Amen. They have given themselves to, my friend, being unable to discern good from evil, right from wrong, moral from immoral. We're in a mess, man. I told Brother Jerry, he's talking about the world. I said, Brother Jerry, the fact of the matter is it is sitting right here in God's church tonight. People that have lost their capacity to be able to handle truth.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it's always been that way. The church at Galatia got upset when the apostle Paul won. And Paul said at one time, you would have, amen, you would have plucked out your own eyes and give them to me. You loved me so much. You were invested in my life. And Paul had to write to them and say, am I now therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. In other words, somewhere along the way, amen, they lost their ability to hear the Word of God. Amen, they stoked up on something. They resisted something. Amen, they said no to something. They, amen, didn't want to live or didn't want to embrace. And my friend, the minute you do that, you limit your capacity to be able to hear any more than you've heard. Somebody help me now. Amen. I didn't mean to bog down. I got so much right here. Amen. It's on my heart. Amen. Oh, how we need a renewal of discernment in this day. Amen. Oh, we talked about, amen, what would cause a man to be unable to hear the Word of God. Amen. What kind of man is unable to hear the Word of God? Amen. We talked about this morning, 1 Corinthians 2. Amen. The natural man, he'll never, amen, be able to hear the Word of God. Amen. Oh, the natural man, Paul said, receiveth not the things of God. Amen. He said the reason he came. Amen. Those are spiritually discerned. Amen. Spiritually discerned. The natural man limits us at times. Amen. From being able to hear the Word of God. The natural man, I wrote this down. The natural man, these are people who are lost. The natural man speaks of the Adamic nature that is contrary to God and truth. The carnal man, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, but I, brethren, would speak unto you, amen, as unto spiritual. I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, for ye are carnal. He called them babes. He said, there's a lot of things I have to say to you, but you are not able. Amen. You're not able to hear it. Why? Because of the carnal man. Amen. That word carnal just literally means of the flesh or of the world. And so the natural man is people who are lost. And then the carnal man, according to what Paul said in verse number 1, they are brethren, they are saved. But they are people that are living for the fleshly. They're fleshly minded people. More interested in their comfort than they are bearing the reproach of Christ. More interested in getting along with the world than they are pleasing their heavenly Father. More interested in fitting in so, amen, their world is not looked down upon in any kind of way, amen, rather than setting their affections on things that are above, amen. And I'm telling you, the carnal man, amen, that dwells in all of us, if we live, amen, in a carnal state, we limit our capacity for the truth. Amen. You say, boy, you preach it. You preaching like you did this morning. Amen. God, help us. Amen. We have got to learn to deal with these things. Amen. If you're of the natural man tonight, I hope the Holy Ghost, amen, to kick the blinders off your eyes. Amen. Get the sin out of your ears, Seth, and that you see Jesus and hear truth. Amen. That you walked in lost, but that, amen, when you leave in a moment, you'll leave saved. But if you're saved, it ain't enough to say, well, I'm of the family of God, and so nothing else matters. I'm sick of people saying, well, you know, all that godly living, that ain't got anything to do with being saved and going to heaven. You ain't got to do that to be saved. You're right. Ain't you a brainiac? They ain't been one message I've ever preached in 9 years here that ever said, amen, living by any holy standard, any godly and righteous mode of living and doing good works, amen, we've never preached that would bring a man in the family of God. There ain't ever been another man preach that. Amen. In this pulpit in the years. Amen. And I'm confident going back into the ministry of Preacher Wells. Amen. We don't preach that you do that in order to be saved and to go to heaven. Amen. But I'm telling you, that doesn't mean it's not important to your spiritual life. Those that live for the fleshly are of the carnal man. Amen. And when the man of God begins to declare the truth to them, amen, if you allow your carnal man to have dominion, amen, you're not only limiting your capacity for truth, that you will mark the man who has been given to you, amen, to mark the way of truth in your life, and you will count him to be your spiritual enemy. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey.
Carnal man. You ain't of the carnal man tonight, are you? I know I'm trying. I said I'd be done at 7. I plan on it. I may not get no further than I did this morning, Brother Jack. Hey, carnal man. Living. Oh, you're not lost. Oh, you got a profession of faith and the Lord saved you and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, amen, that it was real and it was personal. But what have you done with truth since you have been brought out of the natural man? Amen. You're not the carnal man, are you? I've been saved 20 years. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The carnal man is evidenced by your capacity for truth. Tell you one of the most foolish carnal things you can say as a child of God, I will never live what that preacher preaches. I disagree with that. That's his opinion. You, my friend, are of the carnal man. The minute you start saying things and making those kinds of declarations, amen, you're limiting your capacity for truth. Amen, and Christ can only give you what you are able to hear. And you will not receive anything other than that, amen, until you go back and deal with those things you've limited God on. Amen. The carnal man. Then we talked about the minimal man. Hebrews 5, how Paul said there's many things that, amen, we'd like to say to you that are hard to be uttered. We can't give it to you, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull. Amen. Somebody tell me what to preach this morning. What's that word dull mean? Lazy. Amen. We got one that listened. Amen. Lazy. They're people who are lazy, spiritually lazy. Amen. They don't exercise their spiritual senses. Hey, amen. They are those that have been instructed, have been told, have been preached to, have been told the right way. They ain't done nothing with it. It's as though it went in one ear and out the other. And you ask them about what we believe and they go, I don't know. I don't know. How do you mean you don't know? Amen. Paul said you ought to be teaching these things, not having a need that one teach you these things again. What's the problem? They got spiritually lazy. Amen. When you do that, when you hit a spiritual laziness, Paul said, amen, you will lose your discernment between of good and of evil. Buddy, our generation is there. It's evil. This trans movement is evil. It is devilish. And it is out of the pits of hell. And there are churches that are arguing that it's a good thing. What's happened? I'm going to tell you what's happened. Somebody along the way has been the minimal man, just barely doing enough to get by, doing enough to make ourselves feel like we've done something. My friend, no adherence, no embrace of the truth. And when the Bible said that Christ spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it, there are some that cannot hear any more than they're hearing. Because they're of the minimal man. Just doing enough to get by. But you mark it down, whether it's you or me, my family or your family, we all gonna stand before God one day and we gonna give an account for what we did with the truth that was given to us. Are you going to stand there having exercised yourself in the word of righteousness, discerning good and evil, and making those choices in your life about how you're going to live? Are you just going to do the bare minimum? Are you just going to skate past? Amen. To use Paul's language on the day of judgment. Amen. You're going to be saved, yet so as before. And Brother Sammy Allen said that means that, yeah, you'll be saved in the end, but you'll be singed. You'll be saved, but you'll just get in having done the bare minimum. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Well, it's 7 o'clock, and I'm just now to point two. Won't take me but a minute to give you point two and point three. I haven't just re-preached what I did this morning. I hope you hear, amen, the truth and how God has enlarged it even again tonight in our hearing. Not only does it involve the renewal of discernment, but this matter of what it takes to get loose. Ultimately, it's Christ and Christ using truth in our life. But on our end, it involves the removal of distractions. Notice what the verse said in verse number 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone. Is that what your Bible said? And when they were alone. That's when he expounded. That's when he was able to do the unknotting of their spiritual lives. When they were alone. That phrase means this, Brother Jesse, when they were alone, meaning separated to one's own, pertaining to self. It speaks literally of a private moment. I'm going to tell you why some of us can't get free. We don't ever get alone with God. I find it interesting that in the earlier portion of this text, of this chapter, that Christ gives initially the parable, what we know the parable of the sower, and they heard that, and buddy, I'm telling you what an illustration it was. But the Bible said in verse number 10, and when he, that is Jesus, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. When he was alone, they came to him for explanation. Lord, we need some understanding. Not only in verse number 10 do we find that they came to him for instruction when he was alone, but now he comes to them when all they can do is focus, when all they can focus on is him and what truth that he wants to give to them. He can't unloosen any knots in anyone's life so long as you are distracted. We are living in the most distracted generation there has ever been. We are so distracted, we can't be alone for nothing. And yet we're in the most lonely generation. There is a difference in being feeling lonely and being alone. We're so connected to everybody and in everybody's business and everybody in our business and so tied to so many irons in the fire in our day. Amen. We've got these, amen, these gizmos and gadgets that, amen, are supposed to make our life simpler. Amen. But they become distractions, computers and phones and cell phones that are not really even phones. Hey, amen. They have the entirety of our life. Amen. Is wrapped up in just, amen, a little small square little box. Amen. It's the first thing we grab when we wake up in the morning. Amen. It's the last thing that we lay down before we close our eyes. Amen. And we wonder, why in the world am I so bound down all the time? I'm about to preach, buddy. I'm about to preach. Amen, Brother Mike. I prophesied. Amen. Amen. We're after seven, but I feel like we need to say a few things.
Amen.
If you want to get loose spiritually, you want set free, you're going to have to learn to remove some distractions out of your life. So long as the crowd is around, he cannot expound to them. So long as they are focused on the business of the day, he cannot give them the truth that is intended to set them free.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all need to learn how to cut the TV off. Set the cell phone down. Set aside all your extracurricular. And sit your tail down in a dark room somewhere and let God speak to your heart. Wonder why you're so messed up in your mind. Why can't I think right? Know what you are, you're bound. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you can get so full of so many other things, and it don't even have to be sinful things, just things.
Amen.
Sean, you don't know how I feel. I'm just telling you, he wants you to get loose. And he's the one who can get you loose. And he's going to give you some truth to assist you in that. But our job is a removal of distractions.
Amen.
Y'all reckon in the Old Testament, Jacob had some things that had him bound? Oh, yeah. He was bound by a past. Bound by a past full of failure and deceit and doing people wrong. He had a big, long past that he was bound to. He was bound by the prospect of, I'm getting ready to go home, and my brother, he's wanting to stomp the ever-loving daylights out of me. And he was faced with being bound by the prospect of everything that he had gained being taken from him. He's bound by family problems. Amen. He's bound by a mental state that even though he has succeeded in business, that he is still worn out, he is still on the run, he is bound, he is bound, he is bound. Genesis 32:24, all that changed when Jacob was left, the Bible said, alone. In the stillness of being alone, the God of glory, hallelujah, appeared to Jacob. There's no cows to separate. There's no father-in-law to feud with. Amen. There's no wives and children he has to focus on it and straighten their idolatry out. Amen. There is nothing there that, amen, has his attention. Amen. And somebody said, well, Jacob don't need to be alone. Jacob, somebody needs to go. Amen. Sit with Jacob. Oh, friend, the best night of Jacob's life was when Jacob had all of those distractions removed out of his life. When he was alone, God showed up and the wrestling match of the ages took place. Jacob, being alone, wrestled with God. Amen. Till the breaking of the day. Amen. You see, in that night, he could not focus in on his spouse. He couldn't focus on his children. Amen. He was a man who was focused on his God. Amen. And he wrestled and he wrestled and he wrestled under the breaking of the day until God said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Jacob said, "I will not let thee go till thou bless me." God reached in and touched while Jacob was alone. The hollow of his thigh, the sinew of flesh, it shrank. And Jacob, from that night on, he walked with a limp. He walked having a testimony in his life. I know what it is to be alone. I know what it is to be alone and have the God of glory show up in my life and do a work in my life. Amen. But that will never happen so long as we are not alone. Amen. Amen. We're in a generation. I don't think this is a big problem here. Amen. In fact, I don't know that it's even a little problem here. But let me preach on it so it don't become one. We're in a generation. I got to quit. I know I got to quit. We're in a generation. Grown men stay up all night long playing stupid video games. That just don't make too much sense to me anyway. But then they wonder why they're bound and can't enjoy church. Because you ain't got sense enough. Amen. By the time midnight rolls around, you ought to be in the bed getting some sleep. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Might be somebody watching the live stream. Amen. These people, they stay up all night long on their phone, on their computer. Amen. And doing nonsense. Amen. When you can't sleep, best thing you could do is just lay there and say, "Lord, I just need to be alone with you for a little bit." Now, I've gotten more in the nighttime, tossing and turning and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm awake. I'm alone. I'm just going to think on you a little bit, think about you," and the Lord come down. Amen. Start walking up and down the hallways of your heart and give you some truth and give you some help and give you some strength that you desperately need. Amen. You don't get that if you're always distracted all the time. Amen. A removal of distraction. Number three, I won't even really preach it, but it involves a revival of discipleship. The Bible said that when he began to expound, he expounded all things to his disciples. That is, there was an understanding in this transaction. It's a transaction. It's a transaction of truth. You see, in the classroom of Christ, he is the great master teacher, and we are the students. Amen. Do you know the difference between a teacher and a student? The teacher knows what he or she's talking about, and the student needs to learn. Now, that's somehow got flipped in our day, amen, where the youngins think they know all there is about culinary arts when they come in as freshmen. I know how to cook. Well, they think they do till they sit down in Sissy Ivy's classroom and she tells them how dumb they are and how they need to sit there and learn something. They want a culinary arts program seat at the table and come in the first day and be cooking prime rib. You know what Sissy does? She says, "Sit down." Probably something like, "Shut up. You ain't going in the kitchen till we sit here and I teach you some things because you've got to be able to hear what I need to communicate to you." Said, preacher, revival of discipleship. Yeah, a revival where we say, you know what? I don't know all I need to know. But I know the one who can communicate that to me. Maybe it'll be in my devotions. Maybe it'll be while I'm at the house of God. Maybe it'll be in the night hour when I'm just meditating and talking to God and He to me. But I know nothing and He knows everything. Did you catch what the verse said? He expounded all things. Now, when I first started in the ministry, I'm done preaching now. I'm just taking your time. When I first started preaching 25 years ago, boy, I thought I had her all nailed down, Brother A.L. I thought I knew it all. I'm 43 tonight, which is not old. I ain't old. I just got a lot of miles on me. Amen. I'm one of them newer model. Amen. Not a new model, but I ain't that old of a model. I just got a ton of miles on me. But at 43, you know what I've come to the conclusion? I don't know. You say, but you're a pastor. People come to you for answers. And you know what I tell them? I don't know. Some of y'all got all the answers. Whatever subject comes up, you can spew on and go on and on and on and on and on. Amen. That don't make you look smart. It actually makes you look like a jerk. Nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. But I know the one who does. I can go talk to him about it. Come on now. I can go talk to him about it. And he's the one who said if we lack wisdom, we could ask him and he would give it to us liberally. And maybe he'll teach us a little something about all this. Amen. You ain't got to be the smartest person in the room. In fact, the more you understand that you are nothing more than a disciple, you will have to come to the conclusion you really don't know near what you think you know, much less what we ought to know. But I'm glad I got a good teacher. Amen. Sis, you take them kids through that culinary arts, they come in, they think they can cook. Till she starts telling about measurements and times, how long you got to cook something. Amen. If she'd have let them start cooking the first day, amen, people would have died of food poisoning. Amen. Am I about right? Amen. Just cause, hey, by the way, just cause you can throw, amen, a hot pocket in a microwave don't mean you're a chef.
You're right there.
Somebody help me. Amen. Learn to make biscuits before you think you anything. Somebody help me preach. They'd kill somebody. They'd hurt somebody because they don't understand I'm a student that needs to learn. You know what I am tonight? I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple who needs to learn. He's the great master teacher. If I will sit down at His feet and say, Lord, it's me again. I know nothing. I know nothing. Lord, I'm coming to You for instruction for my life. You ever get frustrated sometimes because you don't know and you can't figure it out? Is there anybody else like that in here?
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, what do you do? You say, preacher, you really feel that way? There are so many days I get so frustrated with myself because I'll be honest. Can I just be honest and transparent? I feel like the dumbest preacher in America sometimes going, I just don't know. Can't figure it out.
That's okay.
That's exactly right, Brother Mike.
That's
okay. So long as you're willing to sit down at Jesus' feet and
Amen.
Say,
Amen. That's right.
whatever you want to tell me, whatever direction you set, whatever path you point me to, that's what I'm going to embrace. Drown out all the other noise. Get rid of all the other distractions. Lord, I'm here for you and you alone, you and me. Teach me the way that I am to live. Amen. And there's freedom in that. Freedom in that.
Amen.
Amen. I think about what Brother Tim says from time to time in Sunday school. And y'all don't let him kid you now. He ain't as dumb as he tries to act like he is sometimes. He'll say, I'm dumb. And the good thing about being dumb is you learn a lot.
Amen.
Tim ain't no dummy, but he's giving you some wisdom that if you'll take your place as just a dumb disciple, I'm just a dumb disciple. I ain't come here to be called dumb. Listen, just get on the same level with the rest of us. We're all a bunch of dumb disciples. We need a revival of that discipleship that says, Lord, you teach me. Amen. You say, what'll happen? He'll expound to you all things. He'll start unknotting those things you've been wrestling with and trying. I'm done right here. Y'all ever tried get something that was all knotted up and you're trying to get it out and you're trying to work it, and before you can't get it undone, before you get done, it's all cinched up and bit down and you just get frustrated and you throw it down. Anybody else like have that experience? How many of y'all ever feel that way spiritually? You're working so hard, you're trying to get it unknotted, and the more you try, the harder that thing bites down, and then you got this big mess and you can't get it out and you don't know what to do with it. And the temptation is to get so frustrated you just throw it down and say, what's the use? Don't do that. Here's what you do. Get to Jesus. Hand Him that knotted up mess. Say, Lord, would you help get me loose? I promise you, He loves you enough tonight to lead your life out of whatever has you bound. I'm done. I know that's long. I ain't near a good enough preacher to be preaching an hour. I did preach an hour and a half Thursday. I know I ain't that good a preacher. And preach an hour and 15 minutes Friday night. And they was begging for more, and I'm wondering what in the world y'all doing.
Amen.
Amen. There's a few wondering what in the world's that preacher doing. But I've given you my heart all day long, what it takes to get loose.